So today is the third Sunday of Advent, and our theme for the day is joy. And so, you know, we've been through the rough stuff, and now we get to celebrate with some joy, which, you know, I'm saying is, it's a treasure that is carrying us, and so it's a gift to us. So let me just read this paragraph in the notes. Like the gifts of hope and peace, joy is a present reality, perking inside us, mightily operational. And like those first two, joy is not just powerful. It is loud, jubilant, outwardly expressive, raucous. The mystery is how feeble earthlings, wet mud creatures such as ourselves, can ever keep it contained, under wraps, under the radar. Yet all our lives, these three, they're carrying us through all our weakness and failings, determinedly drawing us nearer the heart of the Father. As always, it's God's word through the working of the Spirit that reveals mysteries. Sometimes languidly, like the early morning arrival of the sun over the horizon. And sometimes startlingly, like a pre-dawn bugler playing reveille at our open window, but always as a gift. And so this is the theme here today when we're talking about joy. I think it's just amazing how God designed the moving of the kingdom, the arrival of the Messiah, and all the events that surrounded it, and incorporated these wonderful gifts to us. So what I'm seeing as we go back and read Isaiah 9 again, I'm looking at it from Joseph's perspective. And so in my imagination, what I'm sensing is, and so we don't know this for sure, but this is my imagination, which is extremely active. This is like the Sabbath before they have to leave Nazareth to head to Bethlehem. It's at the end of Mary's pregnancy, and there's this week-long census that is taking place. Joseph is of the house of David, so he's obliged to go to Bethlehem. It's probably the worst possible time, being at the end of the pregnancy. It's an 80-mile trek, and, you know, no woman is probably excited about the idea of walking 80 miles at that stage. And Joseph is really nervous as well, wondering how this is going to work, but they have no choice now. This is the time. So they're probably leaving a few days earlier than everyone else that's heading down to Bethlehem. And so he's at the synagogue. This is how I picture this. Joseph is at the synagogue, and the next day they're leaving to go to Bethlehem. And he's hearing these words from Isaiah read by the reader in the synagogue. And again, we don't know that date and whatever, but this is how I see this happening. So he's been watching, and he's been nervous about Mary's pregnancy and the arrival of the baby. And then this terrible news of this census, which came at the absolute worst possible time. And so, as often is the case, you know, when we read scripture, sometimes you read it, and the minute you've read it, you can't remember what you read. And there are other times it's like the words are just flying off the page straight into your heart, and you're just riveted by the power of these words. I think that's God's gift to Joseph that day. So here's Isaiah chapter 9, the first seven verses that are being read in the synagogue, not droning them on like the reader might have done in the synagogue, because it's the same old, same old. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is here, and he's impressing the truths of this on Joseph's heart. And so here's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And this is in the Voice. But there will be no more gloom for those who knew such hardship. In times past, God humbled the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Later, he will restore the honor and glory to the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee, home of the nations. And Joseph's heart now, I think, is just leaping because Galilee is mentioned. That's where he lives. The people who had been living in darkness have seen a great light. The light of life has shined on those who dwelt in the shadowy darkness of death. And you, God, will make it happen. You bolstered the nation, making it great again. You've saturated it with joy. Everyone in it is full of delight in your presence, like the joy they experience at the harvest, like the thrill of dividing up the spoils of war. Admitting Lawrence's. For as you did back in the day when Midian oppressed us, you will shatter the yoke that burdens them. You will lift the load that weighs them down. You will break the rod of their oppressor. It's true. All the fabric of war will go up in flames. The troops' heavy boots that stamped us down in their blood-soaked garb will all be burned beyond recognition or use. There will be a new time, a fresh start, hope of all hopes, dream of our dreams. A child is born, sweet breathed. A son is given to us, a living gift. Even now, with tiny features and dewy hair, he is great. The power of leadership and the weight of authority will rest on his shoulders. His name we'll know in many ways. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Dear Father, Everlasting, Ever Present, Never Failing, Master of Wholeness, Prince of Peace. His leadership will bring such prosperity as you've never seen before. Sustainable peace for all time. This child, God's promise to David, a throne forever among us, to restore sound leadership that cannot be perverted or shaken. He will ensure justice without fail and absolute equity always. The intense passion of the eternal commander of heavenly armies will carry this to completion. So while everyone else is seated in the synagogue and just, you know, they've received the reading like they would any other synagogue day, Joseph, I think, at this point, can hardly contain his excitement because all of a sudden these words speak directly about him. This child, son of David, what is Joseph about to do? Because he also is a son of David, of the house of David, and that's why he's going to Bethlehem, because that's David's birthplace. And so, and then there's this child that is about to be born to Mary. And so, he's seeing this as a fulfillment of promises that Isaiah somehow 700 years ago received this message, which now is a message directly into the heart of Joseph. If ever anyone needed reminder that God is with them, that this journey is all a part of the plan, and that this baby to be born is part of God's plan. And somehow Joseph has gotten caught up into this amazing story. As he leaves the synagogue that day, I can picture Joseph barely touching the ground. He's so excited. As much as it's difficult yet, the journey is going to be hard. He doesn't know what the birthing is all going to be like. He's hoping maybe that there's a hospital or someone there to help them out with all of this. He doesn't really know, but what he knows is he's in the palm of God's hand. He and Mary are going to be setting out on this journey, and it is something that God has provided for from all of their ancestry, all of time past. And so my first point here, I believe, is Joseph's soul erupts with joy. Suddenly, the work of the Holy Spirit is speaking to Joseph, and these are not just the normal readings of the day. All of a sudden, these are words that apply directly to him. Such confirmation, such joy in his spirit as he realizes what God is about to do. There's still a lot of mystery. There's still a lot of unknowns, a lot of questions, but somehow as he leaves the synagogue that day, as he goes back to Mary to tell her what he's feeling and what he's received from God, the shock is getting even bigger. And this is something that I believe maybe that Mary has kept under wraps because she's known that Joseph has been so burdened and she hasn't dared share it. And so she's kept it very close. But as he gets back to the house and they've already been preparing for the message, I think Mary reveals to him something that happened to her 9 months previously. And so if we can look over in Luke chapter 1, and starting in verse 39, and so we all know that women can be mysterious, right? Guys, you can all nod your heads. Yes, women can be mysterious. And so I think Mary, out of courtesy, maybe out of caring for Joseph, didn't want to share all of the news, everything that she had had, because when she came back from visiting those 3 months with Elizabeth, I think she realized that her state of being and Joseph's were not in the same place. So Luke 1, verses 39 through 45, and this is right after the angel leaves Mary from the message. And verse 39, Mary immediately got up and hurried to the hill country in the province of Judah, where her cousins, Zacharias and Elizabeth, lived. Now, part of the reason I think she did this is because the angel told her that her elderly cousin or aunt was having a baby, and she was 6 months pregnant. I think this was one of the confirmations Mary needed. And so this is what she did. She raced off. She had to have that confirmation. And so then, so she's going to see Elizabeth to see if Elizabeth truly is pregnant. And she gets there. And in verse 41, when Mary entered their home and greeted Elizabeth, who felt her baby leap in her womb, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so here she is shouting, "You are blessed, Mary, blessed among all women, and the child you bear is blessed, and blessed I am as well, that the mother of my Lord has come to me. As soon as I heard your voice greet me, my baby leaped for joy within me. How fortunate you are, Mary, for you believed that what the Lord said would be fulfilled." Now, so Elizabeth probably doesn't know Mary's coming. You know, they didn't have cell phones. And so Mary just shows up at the door. Elizabeth obviously doesn't know Mary is pregnant, would not have suspected that. And so Mary comes in hoping to see evidence that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, like the angel said. But before she has a chance to react to anything, here's this eruption of joy in the baby Elizabeth is carrying. Elizabeth at that point is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she just blurts out the message that, "I know you're carrying a baby and it's going to be a blessed one. And Mary, you will be blessed beyond all women. And what a blessing I receive, that I should receive the mother of my Lord." Well, you know, If it had been me receiving that message, I just would have fallen out. I would have been so overwhelmed. But being a woman and being iron-willed as she was, she probably was just like, "Wow, this is so incredible. I can hardly believe this." And so the spontaneity of this whole thing, she just comes to the door and this thing just kind of explodes. And there's the baby leaping and Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Spirit and then speaking these words of blessing over Mary before Mary hardly has a chance to get in the house. And so the second point here is Elizabeth is filled to overflow with joy. She just can't help herself. Mary doesn't even get a chance to even begin to describe all that's just happened to her. And yet Elizabeth is making this announcement, and she's doing this, making this announcement. And I believe if you've ever given a word of prophecy, or you've been praying for someone, and all of a sudden you hear yourself saying things that you've never thought of before, these words are just spilling out of your mouth, and it's like, I don't even know what this is. And, you know, and you're, you know, after you've done it, you just kind of sit back and go, I don't know if that makes any sense or not. You know, and quite often, if it's been the Holy Spirit, the other person is, you know, laughing or shaking or crying or saying, you cannot believe how accurate that is that you just spoke, you know, and you're just like, wow, I think God just did something. And so I believe that is Elizabeth's experience here. She's just spoken these words that she had no idea she was about to speak. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. She's just overjoyed. Mary is overjoyed to see that her cousin or aunt or whatever, this relative, is indeed pregnant, this elderly woman. And she's thrilled to see that. She's thrilled to get this message. And joy is just overflowing, you know. And then, you know, we don't often remember to think about this, but, you know, here's Zacharias, the priest, Elizabeth's husband, who is mute. Remember? He's not allowed to speak for the entire length of Elizabeth's pregnancy as a sign that he didn't really believe it could happen. It was just too crazy. You know, if they're 80 years old and an angel says, you're going to have a baby, he's like, you know, right, sure we are. You know, sure we want to at this point, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, so he's mute. And so sharing this excitement must have been really hard because, you know, you want to shout and you want to do all these things, but you can't even issue a sound. So not only did Joseph's soul erupt with joy and Elizabeth get filled overflow with joy, right after that, as Luke recounts it, we have these next verses from Mary. And this passage, Luke 1, 46 to 55, is known as the Magnificat, which has been composed in song by many composers. So here is Mary's response to this amazing word from Elizabeth. Luke 1, 46. My soul lifts up the Lord. My spirit celebrates God, my liberator. For though I am God's humble servant, God has noticed me. Now and forever, I will be considered blessed by all generations, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his God's name. From generation to generation, God's loving kindness endures for those who revere him. God's arm has accomplished mighty deeds. The proud in mind and heart, God has sent away in disarray. The rulers from their high positions of power, God has brought low. And those who are humble and lowly, God has elevated with dignity. The hungry, God has filled with fine food. The rich, God has dismissed with nothing in their hands. To Israel, God's servant, God has given help, as promised to our ancestors, remembering Abraham and his descendants in mercy forever. And so, Mary now, what amazing confirmation she's received. And so the third point is Mary prophesies her joy in song. I don't know if she's ever composed a song before, but this is just a spontaneous song of joy before the Lord for all that he's done. And these amazing confirmations, Elizabeth's pregnancy, these words, just spill over, and she's just so amazed at what God has done. Now, just going back, this experience with Elizabeth and her own singing of the song, you know, that Luke says she stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. So she leaves right before Elizabeth gives birth and comes back home. She's now 3 months pregnant. But I think the overflow of joy, both of Elizabeth and of Mary, she keeps a secret. She doesn't want to share that because it's just like, it's too painful because she sees that Joseph is really struggling with this all still, and it's going to be very hard. And so for the next 6 months, as the pregnancy goes on, and then certainly as the census gets announced, the burden gets heavier and heavier. And so Mary just, I think she just kind of conceals it. And she holds on to it. But then the day that Joseph comes back from the synagogue, bouncing, And just like a little kid, he's so excited with what God has showed him. And all of a sudden, I believe, I can just picture this happening. Mary says, well, wait till you hear what happened to me when I went to see Elizabeth. And she shares her joy, Elizabeth's joy, the jubilation in them. And I believe they become like little kids again. And I can see them just dancing around in their living room, just with the joy that is theirs. And again, with all the hardships that are still to come, just these confirmations, these solid beyond belief confirmations that God is about to do amazing things. And there is a story that is being told through them with their participation that is beyond anything they could imagine. So I think as they set out, I can just picture this, as they set out the following day to make their long journey down to Bethlehem, not only is there hope and not only is there peace, but there is joy bubbling over in them. Even though their feet are tired and Mary gets weary from the walking and they have to stop multiple times just to accommodate the fact that this is really a hard journey, there's something in them that almost keeps them giddy with excitement. Like, this doesn't make any sense. This is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to us. And yet we can't contain our joy. And I can just picture people along the way, seeing them, others who are having to make the journey. Because now just picture this, Rome, to exert its power over them, has called for a census. And it's been a long time since there's been a census called. But what they're doing to exert their authority and the power they wield over the people, every head of household is required to go to his ancestral home. So all of Israel, wherever they happen to be living at the time, they're all uprooted and they all have to go to wherever it is that their family's home is. So it's this giant migration all over the place, and people are going in every direction back to wherever the home is. And Joseph is living at the other end of Israel now. It's an 80-mile trek back to Bethlehem, south to Bethlehem. But so there are now like unwilling pilgrims going in every direction all around. And so I think as they cross paths with people going in different directions and others that they pass along the same journey, they're probably just amazed at this young couple and this poor young woman, so heavily pregnant, having to make this journey. And yet the joy that's radiating on their faces just makes them go, wow, what's going on? And they probably can't tell anyone because nobody would believe them anyway. So they just kind of smile in their giddy childlike way. And, you know, it's like, well, you just wouldn't understand. And, you know, and they just keep going. So again, all of these things, we don't know, because scripture doesn't tell us all these things, but we can imagine that God, by his spirit and his faithfulness and his kindness, has given them these three gifts, hope and peace and joy, to carry them on their journey. That is just buoying them up and giving them hope, giving them a sufficient enthusiasm and power to keep going. These are treasures that are needed because there are hard days ahead for Mary and Joseph. And, you know, and they're aware of it, but I just think these three gifts now have come together for these three candles we light on the third Sunday of Advent to prepare them for what is ahead. And so on this day when this powerful emotional explosion is evident through scripture and maybe evident for us as well, you know, and that it should happen on the same weekend as this terrible weather pattern that we were just praying for that has just ripped through our country and created such devastation, you know, at the worst possible time. Not that there's any good time, but, you know, right at Christmas time when people are planning to celebrate Christmas and these terrible events happen. It just, the coming together of these elements is just really hard. Or anyone that's got loved one in the hospital or is mourning the loss of a loved one. These are just terrible times to have to be dealing with these things. And so God gives us, at right in the midst of the darkness of this time, he gives us these treasures that are strong and powerful and carrying us along. So I want to pray for us, and then let's just spend some time talking about what that is like for us, and what are the times maybe that God has spoken and just injected joy that made absolutely no sense, overcame circumstances. Just however God has done that, I'm sure he's done it for us or in the past. So let me pray for us, and then let's just share some of what joy has been like for us. So Father, we come today with all the heaviness and all the darkness and all the gloom and all the difficulties and all the unresolved problems and the illnesses and all of that. And we recognize that all of these things must submit to your sovereignty, to your goodness, to your perfect plan for us. And so even though we don't understand, even though there are mysteries yet to be revealed, even though there's still pain, even though there's still struggle and trial, the truth, the undeniable truth of who you are in your power, in your majesty, as you reveal these gifts, these Advent gifts of hope and peace, and today as we focus in on the joy, it doesn't make sense that we should be joy-filled. And yet, your word is powerful. And I believe the same way you've spoken your word like burning fire into the hearts of saints who have gone before us, you do it for us, and you can do it today. So thank you for our circumstances. Thank you for intervening in a way that maybe doesn't make sense or hasn't made sense in the past, and yet you've brought your divine purposes alive in our circumstances. And we thank you for that, Father, on this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. So any ideas, any thoughts pop up how God has done that kind of thing in our lives in the past?
Okay.
I think we have been struggling with the fact that we can't reach Corey right now. And so we are now, I'm just saying, okay, the Lord has it. It's going to happen. It's going to be fine, whatever it is. So there's joy in that because we know the Lord has his hand on Corey.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's great. That's great to know that it's there before something is resolved, before the answer comes through.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. That's great. Good word.
You know, I loved, as I was reading this or hearing you share this, and it's cool when you hear the story and God shows something a little different of how when Jesus shows up, there's joy. Instead of Jesus shows up, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. You know, there's joy, 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 joy. And it just really spoke to me. And then when you asked to share a personal story, the one that came to mind, which, sorry, it's sad, is Mark and I's dream was to have 10 children. And when we lost our first one, and I was, you know, almost 20 weeks along, and then we had to go to deliver. I mean, it just was so sad that I wasn't delivering life, but God showed up in my hospital room, gave me loving nurses. I was being wheeled out without a baby, but balloons and flowers and love. I don't know if I've ever had so much joy. And I would think, why do I have joy when the saddest thing happened? And I thought, I got God. And that's what happens when God shows up. You can't have anything less than joy. And I had God, like he was so close to me more than he ever had been in my whole life. And he brings joy. He just shows up. He's like the party. You know, when he shows up, he brings joy and happiness and fun. And I love that about him.
Amen.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. 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 We've often made the distinction, of course, you know, that joy is not happiness. You know, happiness is a light and fleeting kind of thing. You know, it's here now and then it quickly passes. But joy is this, you know, it's joy in the waiting to hear from Corey. It's joy in one of life's saddest moments, you know, and there's just something that carries us. And so, yeah, that's great.
I think that with that, the Bible verse that says he is close to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
Like he's close, but he's bringing stuff in that closeness, joy and peace. You know, when he's close, he's bringing stuff with him.
Yeah.
Oh, there she is.
So she's coming close so we can hear her.
Oh, good.
Since her computer is not working.
I don't know. I didn't do anything good. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of echo what Deanna was saying, because it's maybe we've all had these kind of times where you feel lost and it's like something is, you know, I'm not rooted in, I'm feeling a bit lost. Maybe it's just kind of traumatic things that you go through. But I do remember at one point, it's actually after we came home from France and we were already kind of plugged in and doing our thing and at school, and Don was doing his thing, but I always felt sad. I had a sadness and I was grateful, but somehow or another, there was still a sadness. And I know exactly where I was. As I say, when the joy returned and I didn't make it happen, I just did not do anything. I just was standing in the sanctuary at Emmanuel Baptist where the school is. And all of a sudden the joy just came.
And yes.
I mean, it wasn't anything except a release. And I don't know whether something came down or, but it was tangible. It was a release from sadness, maybe, and a permission to move on.
Yeah, that's good.
And so that was, and it was a joy. And I didn't do anything, you know. And so I was super grateful. Yeah.
Well, you received it.
Yeah, I really did. I knew it. I knew what was happening. I knew it wasn't me.
Yeah. Any other instances? Yes.
I wanted to add something. I think joy comes also in receiving, in asking for and receiving. Shortly after I got down here, I found that someone had taken a check of mine, had stolen it from the mail, and altered the amount and payee, and nearly wiped out my checking account. Oh. So here I am down in Virginia, needing to deal with a bank in Maine and the police department in Scarborough. And I was very angry. I was very angry at this person. But I also knew I couldn't go on with what I needed to do being so angry. So I went down to my bedroom and I shut the door and I got on the bed and tried, even with my hips, to assume the lotus position. And I said, God, I need to get over this anger because I can't move on with all the things I need to do when I am so angry. So help me with this. And he did.
Yes.
I sat there for a while. Everything went away. And so then I asked, help me stay, my mind clear. Let me write down steps that I need to do. And with the help of my family and everyone I talked to, from the policeman to the bank, to all of my different sources of retirement, they all have to know that your checking account has been compromised. Yeah, so many things. I just finished the paperwork yesterday, but everyone was so nice. And I thought, God's hand is in this, because the only place I had trouble was our government and Social Security, and they are difficult, even with God helping you. But it all got done, and I had a sense that it would all get taken care of, and it has. And I think if I didn't have this belief, that I would still be angry, that the paperwork would not be done, and I'd be spinning in circles. So praise the Lord.
That's right.
He's here to help me.
That's great. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It is.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I just find it so, it's really exciting that God intervenes in these really difficult things that life is made up of, you know, and it isn't just, you know, oh, we get an unexpected balloon or something, you know, it's not that. It's, you know, it's much more than that. And it joy intersects at the hardest things, as we've been talking about. And yes. And so it's a real, these gifts are gritty and powerful and muscular, and they're of God, and you can't not experience them. It's almost harder to keep them under wraps than it is to express them. And so mm-hmm. Yeah, really exciting. So anything else before Horace comes? Deanna,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to tell Carol, thank you for sharing, because that was really cool and encouraging, because, you know, you reached out to the Lord and you didn't allow Satan to steal your joy for making beautiful memories with your family. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, amen. Excellent.
Amen. Yeah, that's great. All right, Horace, why don't you? Oh, Angela, sure.
You're muted.
Muted.
I said, mine's a little different. Whenever you talked about Joseph being a little giddy when he realized what was going on, it made me think about this past month. I was planning for the ladies' meeting yesterday. I felt, I included the Lord because I said, I need your help to do this. And I felt excited, anticipating how they would receive this. You know what I did, and so it was a lot of fun. I had joy from that.
All right, yeah.
So did we.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. All right, let's stop the recording, and Horace, you pray us out.